Welcome to the You've Caught That Right podcast. It's me, David Nolan,
and Nick Stewart.
You're listening to You've Caught That Right with Craig Stewart and
is David Nolan.
And in this episode, this is our second episode, so a bit of a celebration that we made it past one. It's always got to be a wee bit of a triumph for us. So, yeah, David and I will have your usual three quotes each. Our intelligent quote, our current news type quote, and our funny quote. In the last episode, we had some interesting names that people were given, and we had some inspiration from Kanye West, so let's see if we can top that.
Definitely, yeah. Let's see.
So we'll go for you, David, for your first quote.
Yep. My first quote's from a man named Viktor Frankl. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No.
He was a psychologist. He invented a type of therapy called logotherapy, which I don't really want to get into the basics of what that entails. But he was also a survivor of Birkenau concentration camp. And it was through, obviously, his time in these camps, he actually managed to turn it round on its head, and he flourished, basically, from being in the camps.
Yeah.
He used whatever purpose he could find, a piece of work, or whatever he wanted to work on whilst in the camp, and without it give his life meaning, basically. And that's what he was trying to teach people while he was in the camp, that, for instance, he had written a book that was, it was then taken off him and destroyed by the Nazis prior to the camp.
Yeah.
And it was through this that basically he's told himself, well, that's my meaning, is to finish this work that I've started. So I'll keep it going, and when I'm at the camp, I'll rewrite it. So that's basically what kept him going. It was important in that he tried to teach this to people within the camp. He was just trying to obviously get it across to them that if there's a meaning, you can endure just about anything, do you know what I mean?
So the psychology of just being able to somehow get by, even in the worst of circumstances, somehow try and find meaning, just so you don't get beaten down, essentially.
Yeah, Viktor Frankl used a quote by Friedrich Nietzsche. I don't know if you know him either. He was quite a prominent kind of philosopher. And basically the quote is along the lines of, any person who has a why can bear almost anyhow. Basically saying that you can basically go on if you've got this how or this something, do you know what I mean, to live for. So I saw the quote anyway from Viktor Frankl as, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. I just think that's quite a profound when you think about it, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's so many folk in the world, even for minor things, stuck in a rut, and they're kind of, they'll stay in the rut and they'll blame themselves, or they'll blame their surroundings, or they'll blame this, or blame that. But they don't realise that because you've been dealt that card, you don't necessarily need to play it, do you know what I mean? You can get up and you can go and change. For instance, a common one's folk that just absolutely hate their job, stay in their dead-end job, and they're depressed at their life every day going to work, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why not just take the punt, go and work somewhere else, do something slightly different, do you know what I mean? And I know that's, when you get in the rut with playing bills and stuff, that's easier said than done, but it's definitely, it comes down to you, basically, do you know what I mean? Whether you're going to get up and go and do it, or whether or not nobody's going to come to you and change your job for you. So I just find that kind of quote applies to so many areas in life, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's certainly a big emphasis on being able to do something about it. I suppose if you come to the point where you can't, you feel like you are at the end of it and you don't have a solution, But the change yourself part is, we'll do something and that makes it work for you. There's plenty of situations, like your example about work. I mean, what if you keep complaining about it, it's certainly not going to change it. I mean, you can complain about it because that's your right, but if you don't actually either find something in that job that you enjoy or don't do that job, even if it's not a quick fix, just find something.
Like another thing that stands out, obviously, this time of year we've all been overindulging and stuff, is the ones, the folk that will be absolutely depressed with how they look when they look in the mirror, and they'll moan about it and they'll continue to be depressed about it, but there is literally nothing to stop most of these folk getting on a pair of gym shoes and go to the gym, or just even as simple as just cutting out 200-300 calories a day for what they're eating, do you know what I mean, and just losing weight. And I'm not going to sit here and preach weight loss to folk, because I've put on a good bit of weight over the last couple of years, but I know what I need to do to change it, do you know what I mean? And I'm kind of, in a way, I want to change it for certain reasons, but I'm kind of comfortable and I know why I'm there at that weight, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it proves a lot of the time that the mind is the barrier rather than it being a physical barrier. I mean, it's obviously harder if you're more overweight, or it's harder if you have maybe just never exercised, or but there's always, you know, it's that mental block that kind of stops people. And it's the same thing with if you think about someone that's maybe been an amputee, or someone that's you know, something bad's happened and it's disabled them, or they always were disabled, but a lot of people in their own mind say, you know what, I'm going to challenge myself to do what I can with what I have and not let my mind be the blocker, because it's the easy thing to go, I'm screwed, I don't know what to do to get out of this, so I'm just going to do nothing and hope that it changes.
There's another quote, I think it was Henry Ford that said it, and it's, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And that probably kind of ties in and sums it up as well, do you know what I mean?
Because
It's so true. For instance, even a day that you usually, a day of the week that you would run, some Mondays come around, or some Wednesdays, or whenever you run, come around, and you literally can't face getting off the couch. But other days, if you say yourself, I've got this and got up and go, you'll be able to do it, do you know what I mean? But just on the day, obviously, you're struggling, you've convinced yourself, probably about 90% of it is that you've told yourself, nah, I can't be bothered with this, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's how a lot of life works. And there's a lot of people out there that have that attitude constantly. And I mean, there are situations where, you know, if you're in your bed completely unwell, that's a reasonable reason not to go out or to exercise or do something. But if it's the kind of barrier that you put up yourself to say, I can't find a real reason why I shouldn't, or I will find a reason why I shouldn't, rather than there is a genuine reason. And that's been the hardest thing for me and a lot of people, no doubt, is just the part going, do you know what, I'm gonna just do it. I don't have a reason, so I'm gonna just do it and then see how I get on. And even then, you make like plans to go, do you know what, I'll do a short run. You've got a longer run, for example. And then I say to myself, I can't really be bothered with that longer run, so I'll do a shorter one. And then you start, and then you're thinking, I can't think of a reason why I wouldn't just keep going and do a longer run, or do, you know, the whole thing that I'm about to do. So what's the point in cutting it short? Because I don't have a valid reason. I'm just making up excuses.
Definitely.
Yep, so my own quote is from someone that you'll probably be familiar with, and a lot of other people will, Confucius. I know that he has a few.
Yeah, I know how much.
So he obviously, it kind of has a lot of kind of lifestyle or life type quotes. So he obviously put a lot of thought into and observed other people's behaviour and his own behaviour in the world. Probably just, I mean, I don't even think. In the last episode, we had a quote where our quotes are very similar. And I suppose you can find themes through anything and say that something's similar to something else. But in this particular one, it is a wee bit about adversity and I suppose the mental challenge. So his quote is, it is easy to hate and it is difficult to love. This is how the whole scheme of things works. All good things are difficult to achieve and bad things are very easy to get.
I suppose it's sort of talking, it sounds like me, it's talking about kind of vices, how vices that we pursue are easy to pursue, do you know what I mean? But they don't ultimately bring it or contribute anything, do you know what I mean? Happiness in life and the overall kind of overall community, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, the good being difficult to achieve is probably accurate, that if you want something, you think, I'm going to go for, you know, say I want a house with so many bedrooms, like, that's probably not an example of something good because it's kind of indifferent, it's just a house. But I suppose the point is, you know, if you've got something that you really, really want, it's not easy. Like, the things that are, you know, really good just don't always come naturally. It's a challenge to actually make it that way. So it's an effort to make it that way, whereas it's easy to let something go. And that being the bad thing, once you let something go, it's you don't need to do anything, there's no effort. So you can, the bad things require no effort. You can, you know, choose to ignore a problem and that requires no effort. But ignoring the problem, obviously, depending on how, you know, big the problem is just going to make things worse.
It's quite a good quote. A lot of his quotes are kind of almost like a bit of an enigma. You kind of, it sounds intelligent, but you're kind of left to kind of really think about it. It doesn't really tell you in as much what he's talking about. But then I don't know if that's purely just with the translation and then obviously the time difference for when it was first said, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I do like Confucius quotes.
It makes you wonder what he was seeing and doing in people's behaviour in that time. What did he observe that made him, you know, come up with all of these things? And then that one in particular, what made him, you know, think about love and hate and it being difficult to achieve? Like, what made him spark that in him? I don't know, maybe just his own journey, maybe just a lot of his observations are about himself. I don't know, might be other people and what civilizations were like. But I think, I suppose one of the big points is that doesn't matter what when that civilization was, you've generally got the same themes running through things and how people feel about things, even though technology changes and stuff and behaviors change, what's acceptable changes, but the general kind of human philosophy doesn't really change.
Yeah, it was a kind of good era of philosophy, kind of like Chinese philosophy and kind of Asian philosophy at that time. There's a lot of good things actually that were kind of brought to light. So I hopefully we can get more of the kind of Confucius and stuff on the go.
Yeah, definitely.
That ties us up for the thought-provoking quotes. Would you like to go first with the kind of current quote, what's happened in the news and that this week?
I'll happy to take this first off. It's quite a funny one, just because of Christmas. There's a lot in the news just now about, you know, things like Brexit, and as I was going through articles, I'm thinking, you know, like, who can be bothered with it anymore? Everyone's bored of listening to stuff about COVID and Brexit, but I've got a one that has nothing to do with anything apart from the weather. And this one is a short quote, and I'll give some context to it, obviously. But this quote is, "Browning Snow Services removal now available." Now, this definitely is context. So this is someone filming a video of her husband in Kentucky.
Right.
So that Browning's their surname. So this woman's filming her husband, and he's come up with a new way to remove snow from the driveway. So this guy has chosen, and you go through different things. You're like, you know what? If I put down loads of salt, if I do this, if I do that, that'll remove the snow quicker. But this guy has decided that a flamethrower, it was the tool of choice.
That sounds like America, man. No, well, it's not exactly made for the job, is it?
No.
But I suppose I can kind of admire his thought process. Work smarter, not harder, as I say.
Well, exactly. I mean, there are some comments on this particular video, especially his own comment. So he wrote on Facebook, "God bless American rednecks." So he's obviously got a bit of tongue in cheek there himself. He was out at the time doing it with a beer in one hand, a cigar in the had the cigar in his mouth because he's only got two hands. But he had a beer in one hand, his flamethrower in the other, and he was wearing a dressing gown and slippers.
Safe. Kind of reminiscent of The Sopranos, Tony Soprano going down the drive for his newspaper, remember, the dressing room?
Yeah.
And just the flamethrower.
Yeah. So, a similar image there. American man with flamethrower in the dressing gown. Some questions raised, obviously. I mean, that would certainly raise a few eyebrows, or singe them, for that matter. If you walk by your street and thought, you know what, yeah, that's normal.
It sounds like a bit of a nut job.
Yeah, I mean, I get the humour side of it. It's funny, but a bit daft, especially in your dressing gown.
I know, I'd like to see you clean your drive here. The police would be phoned instantly if you went out with a flamethrower, probably, to clean your drive.
That's the thing, it makes you worry. Like, if that kind of thing goes overlooked, then, you know, what the hell's going on? Because...
Then the other side of the thing is, it shows how good America's economy is, because our petrol prices must be cheap as chips in comparison to Britain, because I couldn't afford to be basically just lighting money here.
Yeah, you don't exactly.
You pack it up and smoke.
Yeah, you kind of shed a tear when you've got to fill the car, never mind the flamethrower.
That's if it's right now.
Wow. Anyway, so that's the quote, and probably, yeah, avoid annoying this guy if you ever come across him.
Or make friends with him and he'll clear your drive.
Alright, enough. Aye. Good point. Fair play.
Anyway, right, so for my current quote, as you're aware, yesterday we had a bit of a storm on the go. It's called, didn't realise I had a name. I don't know how to name the storms now. It's fucking
century.
So it's Storm Bella, apparently. So the son have posted a video. So the son have put a video on YouTube of the storm, and it's titled "Moment Thrill Seekers Climb Onto Rocks," and rocks is in capitals. I don't know why it's in capitals. Mm-hmm. "Onto rocks to watch huge waves crashing." Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the deepest, darkest part of the internet, and I was trolling through the comments because there was some funny comments, just things that people post. And I don't know if you're familiar with Dave Gorman.
Yeah.
He done the thing, it was called The Found Poem. So I think I'm going to read these comments out, and I'll cue some classical music behind it, and I'll do my own found poem. So, and just in context, there's a woman There's a woman in the video who's walking a dog past to see the waves all lapping over, and she's throwing a stick for the dog. So that's kind of why they're talking about the dog and the stick for people that haven't seen the video. So this is my spoon poem. The only thing about this video is to dog playing catch. Was that woman trying to kill a dog? Dogs are much better in swimming out than humans. They are not fragile toys. That's one. I've made bigger waves in my bath. They're still playing stupid with the high window, and the woman throwing the stick for the dog in the water to retrieve is moronic. You've not made bigger waves in your bath, just saying. It's called Weir Hair. It's meant to be weather, by the way.
Battle of wits.
And then the next guy's commented, let people live. If they die, it's their choice. And then the guy after that says, pity they weren't blown into the sea.
Compassion.
And then we go back and it says, two words, Darwin Award. And that's for the stupid comments.
That was, that's like a wee snapshot of a window into the many faces of the many people of Britain.
Yeah, so it's when you troll these sections that you actually see what people are writing. It's quite funny. I just like when they make spelling mistakes and stuff.
And then correct each other. Oh. It's funny when someone pulls someone else up for spelling and then misspells that too. That's quite good.
It's funny how the storms here are classed as storms when it's like a day of wind, which is a slight variation on usual weather, but it's a storm.
There was a gusty wind and Mrs. whatever got splashed slightly, and then it's like these other countries are suffering like severe weather, snow, wind, rain, whatever, and you know it really really affects Britain when there's a wee bit of wind, as you know from any sort of interaction with public transport or roads.
Remember that guy? Oh, trampoline.
there's always a trampoline.
Yeah, the trampoline's blown down the street. In America, they've got like cows swirling and twisters and stuff, and the guy here's shocked that he's seen a trampoline rolling down the street.
Which is basically a giant sail.
Scotland's version of the double rainbow video was, oh, trampoline.
Mm-hmm. That's why we can't make good disaster movies here. It would just be so underwhelming.
Somebody's Mrs. Smith at 4, number 4, wheelie bins blown down the street, and it's caused a national emergency.
It's caused a bin pile up.
It's like, probably, it's surprised that's not the measuring scale for how windy it is, how many wheelie bins is it blown?
Oh, and it scratched Mr. McTavish's car. That's £40 worth of damage.
If you get a black bin, which is general waste, is down the street, it's the heaviest, then we know we're in for a hard time yet. But the cardboard bin goes first, then nobody's worried about the cardboard bin.
Don't panic, it doesn't weigh much. Wait until you see the brown and the black bin going. The brown bin being, for anyone that doesn't know, the waste soil and stuff, so that's quite
wait a minute, probably the heaviest bin would be it's the grey here, I don't know what colour it is yours, that's the bottle bin.
Right. I don't have a dedicated bottle bin, but they've got the communal ones, but if you've got a bottle bin, that's got to be the biggest. Heaviest, rather.
That's what's the highest,
sorry. But anyway, we use bins then as a scale, so we'll just have, instead of like weather vanes, just a few bins standing in a field, see what one goes first.
That's my quote for, well, it's not really a quote, it's just a wee troll thing at the videos, but I just find that the dialogues that folk get underpinned is absolutely ridiculous.
The battles, it's a bit like a kind of rap battle, but just terrible.
So who's your idiot this week? Who's your stupid quote, or what have you got that's just stupid, basically?
So my idiot is quite a renowned idiot. and he's very good at what he does. It's unfortunately a fictional character, but I'm sure a lot of people follow this kind of similar rule of thinking. So my quote's from Michael Scott from The Office, American Office. So one of his quotes was, Wikipedia is the best thing ever. Anyone in the world can write anything they want about any subject, so you know you're getting the best possible information.
it's been changed so many times, man. Wikipedia is just a horrible page. It's good for some things, not for others, as I say, but then that's the internet as a whole, is it not?
Yeah, like the fact that anyone can put anything they want there certainly makes it dubious. I've heard of some funny stories about changes being made to people's profiles and are making them deceased when they're not. So there's certainly something to be said about trusting the internet.
Did that not happen? That happens a lot. It was happening a lot with Rowan Atkinson, I think. People were saying he's dead. I don't know why that comes up, but he's not dead. He's very much alive. Leave Rowan Atkinson alone, please.
It's not something I want to go before their time. I don't know why someone's trying their best, but you can't actually kill someone by saying they're dead. But then again, I don't know. It's the internet. I suppose anything's possible.
Do you know, it's weird. See, I understand it's sad when somebody passes away. But see all this, somebody dies, celebrity dies on the internet and everybody's all, up my arms, and they're putting a big spiel up about, I can't believe they're dead. Well, actually, I can believe they're fucking dead. They were about 95. You know what I mean? But fair enough, it's sad they've passed away and they've had a good career and they've done a lot of good films, but I can understand that folk at over the age of 80 pass away, do you know what I mean? When considering Glasgow, the life expectancy was about 53 at one point, was it not?
Basically a relic by the time you get to 80 in Glasgow.
Exactly, you nearly live twice.
I mean, that's the thing, you just get...
was it a James Bond film?
Oh, is it You Only Live Twice? Yeah.
Is it?
I think so.
Your Scottish went away with Glasgow.
Yeah. Well, you're right. So, that's apt because Sean Connery passed not that long ago.
He must have been 80 odd, was he not?
He was, yeah. And
You Only Live Twice, Miss Moneypenny, when you're in Glasgow. when you die at 80, you only live twice.
Yeah, it's a smog. It's a smog in the... what do you call it?
The bacon.
The bacon. The excessive consumption of bacon.
Endless fry up.
And
my cholesterol.
The punch on for really, really strong, cheap alcohol.
Sean Connery was, fair play, I'm rest in peace and all that. He was he was a very good James Bond. He probably was the James Bond, was he not?
He was the original, wasn't he? At least the film original.
I think it was the original, and then it was taken over by, I don't know if Roger Moore was next, actually. I'm not a big Bond fan. I've seen a few of them, but
I like a bit of Wikipedia.
It's a weird thing to come up, the fact that it's edited by Joe Bloggs, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, some people go to massive pains to properly give facts and research and stuff. I'm sure a lot of the
massive paint. It's not like a church window, a stained glass window. A church on massive paint.
That bloody thing that I had to write on Wikipedia. Someone's labour of love that, you know, some obscure fan page for.
So I was watching a video there. My next quote is a celebrity, when he was asked, this is ironic, this quote. So he was interviewed, and he was asked about, the guy had mentioned the term German. He had replied, German, and he said, no, German. So he had a New Zealand accent, so the guy was like, German, and he's like, no, German, and he showed him the card, and he went, oh, German. And this celebrity turned around and says, German, I don't know what that means. We don't say that word in America. Yeah, but can you guess who it is that said that?
It's not Donald, is it?
No. Even he knows the word German, I would imagine.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Even if his diplomacy is not great. No.
Well, it was the one and only Justin Bieber.
Oh, okay. Explains it.
The hilarious thing about the fact that he doesn't know what the word German means is the fact that his surname's actually German.
That's a point, actually.
And apparently his paternal grandmother is also a German. So how has he not heard the word German? Like, where's he been?
Clearly blinkered. He's Canadian, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he? This is a point, actually. So his songs might have some hidden meanings about his thoughts. So I'm thinking he had a song called What Do You Mean? It's maybe about his lack of knowledge.
Just looking at the quote while you're talking there, and it's so the full interview thing is, you see, the interviewer says Bieber. Bieber is German for basketball, true or false? Justin replies, is what? Interviewer, is German for basketball, true or false? Justin, German, looks puzzled. Interviewer, German, might be the Kiwi accent there.
Mm-hmm.
German, you know? And then he presents on the card with the word German on it. Justin, oh, I don't know what that means. We don't say that in America. I like basketball, if that's what you're asking.
Go for the easy option.
That's total off subject.
I'd read the thing. The rest of the interview was like, if that challenged them.
Yeah. I know, it's funny. It's just funny though, that you're saying hidden meanings. Maybe what do you mean? Maybe it was something very simple that was trying to be explained to him and he's just not got it. So he wrote a song about it.
Wow. I mean, I didn't, like, you don't want to assume about people. It just didn't seem like there was much going on there. But
No, I know.
Kind of proves it.
No, that is us for this week. It feels like it's been quite a quick episode this week, actually.
Yeah, actually.
I don't know why. A joke just came into my head there that I heard the other day, and it keeps coming into my head and laughing at it. Mm. So Robin Hood's lying in his cottage on his deathbed in the forest, and Little John and all that are made Marian are surrounding him, and they're making him comfortable, and they say, is there anything we can do for you? Want anything that you need? Any last thing? He says, get me a bow and arrow. So they go and fetch the bow and arrow, and he kind of sets it up. He says, wherever I fire this arrow, I need you to bury me there. So they open the window. He pulls back the bow and he strikes the arrow. It hits off the window ledge and lands on top of the wardrobe. I don't know why that joke, but I thought that was good. I thought that was apt. But anyway.
And did they bury him on top of the wardrobe?
Yeah, so they buried him on top of the wardrobe. But that's us for this week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share. Thanks for listening to the You've Caught That Right podcast with me, David Nolan, and Craig Skinner. And we'll look forward to hearing from you on Twitter. So I look forward to hearing from you on Quote Right podcast on Twitter. Send us messages, even send us quotes. We might even start reading out quotes that people send us if we get them frequently enough. But thanks for listening to the podcast, and we will see you in the next episode.
Goodbye.